Hi, I'm Mike Lee, author of Black Library, author of the Malice Dark Blade series, and you're listening to Sean Hemmer.
Well, here we are today with episode 59 of Sean Hemmer. Almost 60, everybody. Today we have White Dwarf 382, my Malifaux pickups, and rumors from the warp today. So let's go ahead and get started. What the hell I've been doing the last couple weeks? Heroclix, not much other than that. Going over some stuff for the Malifaux section. Once Upon a Time in Malifaux, we'll be going over Sue next up. And other than that, just besides picking up my purchase, which I got the Molly box set today, well, yesterday, and also the back of the Necrotic Machine, so we'll be going over that just shortly after we barrel through this commercial about Necrons. So anyway, rumors from the warp, we have some 40K rumors, some release rumors. Necrons we have now, obviously. This is what they just released yesterday with a White Dwarf being released. We have Tau coming out in the first quarter of 2012. That's one of the rumors. We have Chaos and 6th Edition Warhammer 40K out in second and third quarter of 2012. Also, we're looking at Eldar in the fourth quarter of 2012, and sometime next year we're looking at a White Dwarf Chaos Renegades article. So welcome to Sister Purgatory Chaos Renegades, which I think is okay because I don't think that they really need their own codex. Anyway, I think Renegades are like Imperial traders. I don't know. No, of course, Chaos is Imperial traders. So first up, let's go into the new releases. We have the Ghost Ark, Doomsday Ark. This is a one box that makes two different things. The first Ghost Ark is basically looks like kind of like a metal scorpion with the claws. Troop transport repair, shut my Necrons down, looking like Phantom Menace droid carrier from the first Star Wars. Not impressed, but at least I got a skimmer and transport. Now, Doomsday Ark is exactly the same model, but it had like little rib things pointed up for the Ghost Ark. And so Doomsday Ark, it's pointed down, and it looks has something like a giant metal, I don't know, looks like a penis. Anyway, next up we have the Command Barge and the Annihilation Barge. Now, same kit, same basic design. They each have two riders that look like they're little Necron carnival rides. One's got a cannon, one's got a lord that pops out. And out of the little chariot section. So that's okay. This little skimmer on a little flying base. Can't imagine it's going to be much bigger than Dark Eldar Viper. Maybe I'm wrong by saying it. Next up, we have the Mortals and the Death Marks. These are a five-man kit that can make either or. Death Marks are a cycloptic sniper rifling. Sniper rifle unit, and immortals, you know, are they're mortals with gauss blasters, or you have the ability to put Tesla cannons on them. Another two unit plastic kit, one kit making two different units. We have the Lich Guard or the Triarch Praetorians. Pretty cool, both on each. Lich Guard, you can equip them with these badass shields, so those are pretty cool. You'll understand what I mean when you see the pictures. Okay, so that brings us to all the releases on November 5th that are from Citadel Miniatures that are not Finecast. My overall view of those, well, the Keeping the Troop choice is the same. The Immortals don't look far different. The Death Marks got a nice futuristic feel. Then we go to a bam. We're playing Tomb Kings in space. That's what they look like. Yeah, they look cool, but they got a high Egyptian feel more so than they usually did, and not so much a Terminator feel. I don't know. So let's go ahead and look. Get into the Citadel Finecast. We're looking at Emotech, the Stormlord. Yeah. Trazin, the Infinite. A Necron Overlord and a new unit model called the Necron Cryptech. Probably kind of like a Psyker of some sort. We have the Flayed One packs, unit of 5, also from Finecast. They look pretty cool. I don't believe they're the old Finecast models, and I don't understand why these weren't done in plastic as well, because they're not really that. Once you see them, you understand. The flayed skin on them kind of looks like nothing more than we've seen on other Dark Elves. The Dark Eldar. Dark Elf. We have, of course, the Necron Codex. Next up for new releases, we have a fantasy release. The Skullvein Mans. The Lair of the Astromancer. Pretty damn sweet. It is a pretty cool terrain piece. It's like a wizard tower with a rocky outcrop with an observatory on it, with a little bridge that goes from one side to the other. Looks like it'd be pretty epic to have it on your table. I like it. We have the Citadel Mega Paint Set. They release this every year. Basically, same thing. The piece of crap Citadel Paint Station. Stop trying to shove this on us. Heavy Metal Master Class stuff. I don't know. Custom army cases. We have a special edition dice cube, which is the same dice cubes but with clear dice instead of the opaque. We have grass tufts. We had Mordheim turf and Midland turf. Tufts. It's, I don't know. I don't know. They look like grass tufts. Grass tuff. If you can get it cheaper, I'm sure you can get it somewhere else. They got a new white dwarf model with subscription. He's a little pirate. Looks alright. We'll go there. We use Black Library releases. And we go Rise of the Necrons. So far, what I've been reading, there is no mention other than the Necrons fought off the Cetan. So I don't know if we're going to look at having the Deceiver and the other guy in the Codex, but only time will tell. November 5th, the Codex comes out, and we'll be able to see. Inside, we have a hierarchy of Necrons. Basically, they're Egyptian. There's a hierarchy, just like you would have in a Tomb King army. And you've got your little glyphs, all that crap. It shows the different little dynasty motifs or glyphs and paint schemes that you can deviate from your regular Necrons with. Still looks like we'll be able to have the destroyers. Let's see. Pillaging through, see if we can't find anything. Of course, they have some different colored photographs and stuff in here, and it's really odd to see Necrons in this form of style, especially paint scheme. It's a lot of turquoise and stuff, and a lot of pictures, and I just don't know. I will admit, though, on the Lich Guard, I like their little plates that they have, and you keep it a digital look, like with the towel. They look pretty sweet. We got some more Necron colors to paint your stuff in. For the different dynasties. I guess it could be pretty cool. Some of the color schemes are pretty sweet. The Rulers of War, blah, blah, blah. We have reanimation protocols. This would probably get everyone excited, I guess. Let's see. We'll be back, basically. At the end of the phase, you roll a d6. Okay. Okay. Blech. Okay. Whenever a Necron is removed as a casualty, the unit incurs a counter. At the end of the phase, you roll a d6 for every counter incurred in that phase. On a 5+, you can return a model back to the squad as the android's sophisticated self-repair system takes effect. So, we'll be back on a 5+. It's a counter because I just... More counters. I don't know what the Dark Eldar release and stuff. They show some stats on some Necron war gear. We have the Necron Gauss Flare. It's a range 24, strength 4, AP5, rapid fire gauze. We have the gauze blaster, 24 inch range, strength 5, AP4, rapid fire gauze. We have the synaptic disintegrator, range 24, strength X, AP5, rapid fire sniper. And we have a Testline carbine, 24 inch range, strength 5, AP dash, assault 1, Tesla. Let's see. We got the Catacomb Command Barge, a little bit of stats for that. Ballistic Skill 4, Open Top, Skimmer, Fast, Front, Side, and Rear Armors, 11. The Catacomb Command Barge can carry one independent character. It's got Quantum Shielding, Tesla Cannon, Special Rules, Living Metal. It can repair itself. It's got sweep attack rule. Doomsday Arc, open top, skimmer. Two flare arrays and the Doomsday Cannon, which is quantum shielding. It's a vehicle unit suffers a penetrating hit. It counts all armor values on its front and side facings as being 2 points higher. Once a penetrating hit has been scored on it, no longer can use the quantum shielding. Doomsday Cannon. It's got a stationary range of 72, strength 9, AP 1, heavy 1, large blast, or combat speed 24 inches, strength 7, AP 4, heavy 1 blast. Special rules, living metal. We got some grand opening stuff. Of course, we're going to have a battle report and 2,000 points. Well, actually, like 4,000 point armies. We have a one big massive Necron invasion and one Ultramarines Eldar list. Okay. And it goes through. As you know, it's, of course, it's got the neat little pictures and the beautiful looking painting. Because, well, I'll be honest with you, these guys can paint. Simple as that. Let's see. Then we go into Standard Bearer, which is Jervis' little thing. I'm not going to read it right now. We got special rules for the Skull Vein thing. Okay, some Forge World piece with some sweet-ass looking stuff that Forge World has, just because Forge World does a great job on stuff. We dump in the Lord of the Ring, jump into Lord of the Rings Infantry Tactica, which, well, when someone plays this damn game with me, I will read these things, but as simple as that. Probably end up playing Lord of the Rings Hero Clicks first. We have a Tactical Ogre Kingdom. This is going to be good reading, just so you can check it all out. It just goes over everything. Really big stuff. Got some firepower. Basically, let's sell our Ogre Kingdoms a little bit more. We have Armies on Parade. And believe it or not, we have a Sisters Battle Army Workshop on the inside. This guy's working on Army of the Argent Shroud. Pretty cool. Why can't we put this all in one free little codex that you can establish, put together, and put in a white dwarf and make this magazine worth something? Big old article, 2-page article for Dreadfleet. I didn't go over it because it's not Man of War. If it's not Man of War, it's crap. Of course, all your local independent stuff. Cool picture of Necron, Egyptian thing. Let's see. And we have, of course, they're just pumping out the old Necron Heavy Destroyer and stuff, and some Sisters of Battle guys that you can order through White Dwarf. And let's see if I got pick up anything nifty on this that would be a little bit different than what's not in the beginning of the Codex, and that's a negative. So, and on the back we have more Necron pictures in turquoise and brass. Still don't know how I feel about it. I don't like the Necron's got some skimmers. They still have the monolith. They have some command things. I may imagine when the rulebook comes out, I'll go over it, the codex, and we'll see its fullest extent what we're looking at. But that is White Dwarf 382, the Necron commercial. Alright, speaking of commercials, we're going to take a moment. We're going to go, we're going to hear from, actually, Bill from the Gamers Lounge, the guys from the Anthrovox, and probably, you know, and the regular commercials on top of that. I mean, so we gotta support the other podcasts. And let's see. Now I'll hear from you guys in a moment, and we'll go through Malifaux segment. We'll go through the Molly Squid Pitch Box.
This is Bill.
Talk to you soon.
And this is Jay.
And we're the hosts of the Gamers Lounge,
a podcast about sportsmanship,
miniature wargaming,
the hobby,
and generally anything we want to talk about because we have the microphone.
Yes, we do, Bill.
And you know what they say?
What do they say, Bill?
Any gamer will listen to any idiot with a microphone.
We're the idiots.
You can find us at iTunes.
And at gamerslounge.coder.net.
So come listen to us and enjoy the podcast.
See you guys later.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Julian.
And we're here to tell you about the Aethervox,
the podcast that's mostly Malifaux.
Tune in if you'd like to hear Malifaux hobby news,
original audio stories,
and tactics interviews with players around the world.
You can find us at theaethervox.com or on iTunes.
Okay, we are back, and, well, let's get into this. I have the Molly Squid Pitch box in front of me, plus one. And the plus one is, I had to buy the necrotic machine, come on. I don't understand why it didn't come in the box, but I guess I do because of its contents. Anyway, the contents come with three Krulligans, which I wasn't sure, but they're pretty cool, I guess. It comes with Molly Squid Pidge, and she's one piece, and it's beautiful, and it's going to be a pretty cool paint. I've been looking forward to this box, simple as that. And it comes with the Rogue Necromancy. I'm going to have my wife paint this. I don't want to paint it. I'll use it, but I don't want to paint it. So, there we go. also picked up, I'll go through the box first, then we'll go through what I picked up. First and foremost, let's start. We'll go from the Krulligans up to Molly. Okay, the Krulligans are a 4-point model. They have a walk 4, charge 6. Their height 1, willpower 5, casting 4 with a mask, defense 5, and wounds 5. Their special forces horror, undead. Let's see. They have an infected dagger with the range of 1. CB4 with a crow and damage 1, 2, 3. They have for their abilities, they have creepy, and this is pretty cool. I wish you could kind of put these with a stick together, but anyway, just because of the fog stuff. And anyway, I'm rambling. The living models within 3 inches of this model receive -1 willpower. That's gonna come in handy because the rest of the box, what we have here, there's two major things that, they have some pretty nasty willpower duels. Next up, for ability, they have from the shadows. This model may be deployed after all other models in or behind a terrain more than 12 inches away from an enemy or of the objectives of any strategy or known scheme. This model may not be targeted by charge or range stacks until it performs action other than pass. If it's deployed this way, the multiple models with this ability are in play. Players alternate back and forth. These also have scouts. Their weapon is an infected dagger, poison 1. And we're looking at, it's kind of poisoning to death, I would say. It's up there with what I want to do with Zoraida, with poison, with the Wicked Dolls and stuff. Anyway, actions, they have a +1, always on the move. After this model performs an interact action, it may immediately push up to his walk. That's pretty cool, but I don't think you can pick up objectives because if you push to your walk, I think you drop it. But anyway, I could be wrong. So if anyone's listening out there and saying, Sean, you're a freaking dumbass, give me a heads up. Anyway, for one action, we have a curiosity calls. Place this mono base contact with a friendly Krilligan that is completely within the aura of the mist. Now, mist is range 3. Anyway, we have return to sender, 2 actions. Place this mono in base contact with any friendly master or henchman within 10 inches. This action may only be performed if the model is engaged with an enemy model. Pretty cool for pulling the model out of combat because these guys aren't combat monsters. Once you go in there and jab him with the poison, you bail. Simple as that. Also, with the negative 1 willpower and what Molly does, I think it's pretty sweet. As he triggers with a needing a tome, they have the malignant rot infected dagger. This weapon inflicts a +1 damage. And defense with a mask, the mist embrace. After this model is hit by a melee or ranged strike, after the hit, this is before the damage, I believe, this model gains spirit characteristics in the end of the start of the effects step. So that's pretty cool, you know. I don't know, I like it. They have a 1 spell, casting 12 on the mask, range 3 aura. Is a height 5 obscuring for all models, including this model. Friendly Krilligans, we receive a +2 walk and +2 defend when affected by the spell. So it's pretty cool. Cool little four-point model. It sucks to be a freaking child of Malifaux, going from Hamlin's Lost and Stolen to the Krilligans. I mean, it just sucks ass, man. It's not a place to raise children. So, the box comes with 3 of those. Next up, we have the Rogue Necromancer. This is a lion slash rattler slash horse slash, I don't know, scorpion. Pretty cool story in the book. Pretty cool story indeed. It's 10 soul stones. It's a beast, special forces, horror, and undead. Walk 5, charge 9. Height 3, willpower 5, casting 5 with a crow, defense 4, wounds 10. It's got 2 different attacks. It's got claws, range of 2, CB7, not bad, with a 3, 4, 5 damage. And it's got fangs with an attack, range 1, CB5 with a crow, damage 2, 5, and 7. So he's going to be the heavy hitter of the box, and he's got, he's going to be nice to play with the Krilligans, and I'll get to that in a second. He's got difficult to construct, models casting the reanimator spell may discard 4 corpse counters to summon this model. Models casting the monstrous creation spell may discard 8 body part counters to summon this model, blah, blah, blah. He's got Heart of Wound 1, he's got Stalker. If this model receives cover from all enemy models at the start of in the closing phase, you can push it up to 6 inches. This model must be within, you know, in cover from enemy models at the end of the push. It's got superior undead, so it can ignore the effects that target undead. Terrifying 13. It's got claws paired. Fangs poison 2. Again with the poison. Actions +2. Three-headed. This model may perform 2 additional fang strike actions during the activation while it's over half its wounds remaining. Sweet! It's got Scent of Death. Beast declaring a melee strike targeting this model must first win a willpower 12 or the action immediately ends. Nice little ability against beasts out there, especially Marcus. You have a couple of Krilligans by you that lowering down their willpower. It could help. Small Fear. I like this. I like this on Teddy. I like this on him. 0 action. When a model loses a morale duel within 6 inches of this model, but before the model falls back, this model may immediately charge at model. Small Fear ends when the model charges this turn or at the start of the closing phase. So, it's pretty cool. You can jump on them. Triggers. It's got Rot, Fangs and Claws. Spells that's got acid breath. This will be a casting of 9, resist defense, range 12, damage 3, 3 blasts, 4 blasts. Can only be used once per activation, and it's got for 2 actions, true form. Casting cost 15, resist willpower. Again, nice for the Krulligans. The only thing I can say is I thought this box needed the necrotic machine, but it could have came with another Krulligan for its points. I think it would have evened out, so you can been pretty cool. Range of 6, living in undead models falling failing to resist the spell, fall back. So, you know, it can even force you to fall back so it can smell fear on you, I guess, you know. So he's pretty cool. I'm not sure about what it's supposed to be. Confused by it. All chaotic. Next up, we have the girl herself, Molly Squidpitch. Costs 9 if you're using her as a henchman, but if you're using her as a leader, she's got henchman 5. She's a bell, grave robber, special forces, horror, undead. She's got a walk 4, 6 charge, height 2, willpower 5, 7 casting with a crow, defense 4 with a crow, wounds 10. And she's got a small little book, so let's get going. She's got extraordinary dead, 4-inch aura. Friendly bells and horrors receive a +2 walk to all walk actions. Pretty cool, especially if with the Krulligans, with their bonus to their walk being in the mist and being next to Molly, which she can, they can suck themselves back, you know, at the end of the turn, and stuff like that. She's got hard to wound 1. She's got necrotic spray. This is living models within 1 inch of this model suffer 1 wound when it suffers damage from a melee attack. So kind of like Black Blood. She's got pitiful. I like pitiful. I like down cry. I like it on her. And so this model activates each turn. Models targeting this model must win a willpower versus willpower duel, or the action immediately ends. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's not against crap like, you know, like Hoffman's crew and stuff, but it's still pretty cool. She's got slow to die. She's got special forces leader, horror. A crew led by this model may only hire horrors, bells, and totems. She's got superior undead, so that's same as the other one. She's got action, she's got +1 instinctual. She's got 0 action and possible knowledge, 6 radius. Failing undead models gain necrotic spray, so your little Krulligans can gush out junk. She's got the Gorgon's Tears model, gains terrifying 14. Again, with the ability of the Krulligans to be zap packs back to her, reducing the enemy's leadership and stuff is really what this is going to be about. She's got uncontrolled crying. I like this, sorry. Model is affected by pitiful as if it had not activated this turn. And she's got Reveal Philip, which I can only assume, I believe, that's her skull. Apostle 4, living models must immediately make a willpower 12 morale duel. Again, with the Krulligans and keeping your necrotic necromancy close, you could be pretty nasty. For triggers with a crow, she's got Masterful Dead. When she suffers damage, its controller may discard 2 cards. This model suffers no wounds from the damage. She's got Willpower Duel, Twist of Mind. After this model wins an opposed Willpower Duel, the opposing model suffers 2 wounds. So that's pretty cool. For spell, she's got 0. Undead Construction. Discard 2 corpse counters within 6 inches. Summon 1 horror with a base size no longer than 30 millimeters, 1 bell, or 1 necrotic machine. So that's pretty cool, you know. I mean, I can see her necrotic machine getting wasted, so who knows. That's a casting of 15 with a crow and range, you know, close. She's got 0 Whispered Secret, range 12 for the crow, resist willpower, range 12. Gain 1 of target spells, 1 spells. This lasts until this model casts a nominated spell or casts the spell again. You may not copy spells which reference a specific model by name. 1 spell. Next up, we have Imbue Vigor, 14 with a mask, range 18. Target model gains +3 to its walk. So you can really really pump up the movement of her crew. She's got a 1 spell, Philosophy of Uncertainty, 15, Needing a Crow, Resistance Willpower, Range 4, Sacrifice this model, Kill Target Non-Leader Model. This spell may be cast once per crew per turn. I'm not seeing why I would do this. So if anyone knows why you would do this, please send me an email so I can figure it out. Next up, for 1 spell action, she has the Shocking Truth. Casting cost 12. Resist is willpower, range of 3. Damage is a 2. 3 plus slow, or 3 plus paralyze. Pretty sweet. And then for 1 spell, she has Terrible Secret. Casting cost of 14. Resist willpower, range of 12. Target model receives 2 negative flips on all attack and defense flips. So that's pretty cool. You got a little bit of a control master running through a little bit of offensive willpower. I mean, not as bad as whatchamacallit, Pandora, but you could get tricky with it. Now my plus 1 I bought, the Necrotic Machine. He's cost of 2, or you could summon him. He's got Companion Master. He's got Heart of Wound 1. He's got Molly's Toy. This model is connected to Molly's Quid Pitch. The model gains the following action. 0, fixed toy. Friendly Necrotic Machine makes a healing flip. She's got Undead Construct. When this model is killed, generate 1 corpse counter. Actions is create under Undeath. Target non-master living model receives the Undead characteristic. Okay. Triggers CB with a crow. It's got Undead Infection, Poison 3, again with a poison. Spell, she's got magic. It has magical extension like all totems do. It's got 4 wounds. It's Construct Insignificant Totem Undead. Walk 5, no charge. Height 1, willpower 5. Casting a 4 with a crow. Defense 3, wounds 4. It's got 1 range for its close combat attack. The CB4 with crow. Damage of 2, 2, and 4. Pretty cool. And not only that, the paint job is pretty damn sweet. So that was my happy buy this week. I got the Molly Squid Pidge box. And looking forward to painting it. Probably going to do that soon. And it will be... I have it up pretty soon. I'm planning on playing it. I'm looking forward to it. I was looking forward to this box for a while. So that's it for today's episode. I'm hope it's not too short for everybody, but you know, you got any comments, questions, concerns, you send them to SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. I believe I'm going to be on Etherbox coming up with Malifaux Fluff with Ian and Jillian, Julian, and yeah. And so hopefully you enjoyed yourself. Up next episode, we have a small little segment with going over Sue and probably anything else that catches my fancy as we go. So until next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. The
day. A bundle of broken nerves, a mouth full of words I'm still afraid to say. I don't mind telling you, now that I'm old enough to love, I couldn't begin to, even if my pretty life depended on it. And funny thing, it does.
Ah.